Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, SJS, for Tuesday, brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. If price and service mean everything to you, well, you're talking about homeowners, life, auto, business insurance, all at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Kevin Herr alongside, and today we bring back today the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
Oh, it's been on a brief hiatus because I have been happy. But after Sunday's game with Pittsburgh, I am back to my normal self.
What are you mad about with Pittsburgh for?
They lost to the Raiders.
But
bad.
It was ugly. They always lose to the Raiders in Oakland. They haven't won there since 1995.
It doesn't mean I have to accept it.
You've accepted a lot of other things in your life. All right.
Not this. Don't have to. Can't make me.
All right. Now, Schickel and me this week.
Yes, they have the Milton Black Panthers Friday night in Milton at Alumni Field. And that game will decide who wins the top seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
And that game can be heard on WKOK 1070 and our sister station, WMLP.
Depending on which version you'd like to hear. We give you both sides of everything.
Well, WMLP will give you the English version. We're looking forward to it. And
listen, we can talk a little bit later about the seedings and the potential playoff implications and everything. I'm still working the math on that one.
Still working the math on it.
I'm still working the math. Because District 4 AAA, there could be a lot of shakeups if everything goes well, right or wrong, depending, I guess, on how you look at it. And Double A, well, there's still a lot of positions up for grabs in Double A.
Well, here we are. So we're finally to making the turn into November. And top seeds are on the line. Love it. By the way, Chickalemme won last week 28-0.
Yes, they did.
Care to relate our off-the-air conversations?
Listen, I know...
He ran through the panic gambit left and right.
Listen, I said this game has potential to be closer than you think.
I almost got the score right. I don't even know anything about either team.
Well, you said it, I didn't.
What, I don't know about either team?
Right. Well, you know the head coach...
Oh, I know the head coach, and I think the head coach there is going to do a great job once certain things go his way in the talent pool. Intelligent, fabulous guy. You know, Yaakov Israel is the right person for that job. Just going to take some work.
Yeah, he did a really nice job when he was a Chickalemme, too, as a secondary coach.
Yep. So, just takes time. At this moment in time, 28-0 made sense. All right, so time now for Inside Penn State Athletics. We'll hear from Bill O'Brien today, courtesy of our good friends at Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo with remaining factory warranty just $25,960. 2009 Ford Taurus SEL all-wheel drive to plow through snow, $14,832. 2013 Ford F-150 4x4, just $29,399 after all discounts. 2014 Ford Fiesta SE, just $17,120. And a well-maintained, fully serviced and inspected 2011 Ford Escape XLT, just $16,476. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrotzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Could you have drawn the Shikalimi part out any longer? Or?
Probably could have if I really wanted to. Didn't really think about it at the time. It's not like I sit there and go, how long can I hold this? It's not like, go! All right, maybe it is like that.
I mean, between you and the Brazilian soccer announcer, I mean, really. Shikalimi!
All right, maybe it is similar, all right? I concede.
I mean, you know, don't make it seem like it's a rare occurrence.
Kevin is sending the audition tape down to the World Cup in Brazil for next year for announcing soccer.
And that's absolutely terrific, and we wish you nothing but the best. All right, Bob, it's great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve.
It's terrific to have you back. We were debating today who the worst franchises are in the history of man. And we came up with several candidates. And unfortunately, every franchise in Cleveland came up.
I could support the Browns being the worst. Yeah, I have no problem supporting that.
Cavaliers have been to one final ever. The Indians have been to one World Series since 1948, and that was the 97 World Series, the loss in seven games. The Browns are actually the last team in Cleveland to win a championship. They won the 1964 NFL title.
And they're so
1964.
Proud.
1964. Wow. Okay? They're the worst. I mean, that city. Now, there are other franchises that along the way where you sit back and go, wow. Okay, the Cubs are one. Wow. Hey, the Cubs have done nothing. Have not won a championship since 1906, the year before Kevin was born.
Yeah, right around there.
It's no wonder they called Cleveland the mistake by the lake.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if that's true, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going into Lake Erie. It's sinking.
It's real close.
Hey, now you look at other franchises, the Cardinals franchise, for example, and I'm talking football, Chicago, St. Louis, Arizona. Not exactly the bell cow for moving forward.
The bell cow?
Sure. I just want to keep this.
I like
this
that
in.
One, though. That's good.
I want to keep this in terms that you understand.
Thank you.
Okay. But in Chicago, they were terrible. In St. Louis, they were terrible, except for two Don Coryell years. And in Arizona, considered to be a prime Phoenix location the NFL always wanted to go into, they almost killed it. They had one Super Bowl that they were in, played great, lost. But one Super Bowl and two Eric Coryell years don't make up for almost 90 years of futility by the Cardinals franchise. They're awful. Or, as Charles Barkley would say, terrible.
That's terrible.
They're terrible. Imagine being a fan of those teams.
In Cleveland, you wake up every day and realize the highlight is actually going to work.
You know what some people would say to that? But you're in Cleveland.
It's a city with no memory. They have amnesia in Cleveland.
They need to. I mean, even the Cleveland Barons ended up being the Minnesota North Stars, now the Dallas Stars. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the Cavaliers, terrible.
Cleveland State basketball.
Well, they cheated 1 year, got to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and they got caught. And
they did. They got put on probation right after they went. They're like, they're terrible.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Now, look, the really bad ones in college are the ones that cheat, go on probation, but they only won 3 games. You can't even cheat right.
Yeah, if you're going to cheat and you're going to take a chance, at least win something.
I mean, I saw a couple of them where I said, you have to be kidding me. They cheated their brains out. They got put on probation. They won 5 games. Really? I mean, at least if you're going to do it, win them all. I mean, really go for it.
Yes.
I mean, really go for it. But that, you know, we're talking about worst franchises. And when you think about it, in the history of sports, there are just certain ones that just stand out. And you say, wow, being a fan of that team is just one rough ride.
Hey, Steve, we got an early appearance from Coach Joe Susan. So we're going to sneak him in here in this segment, if that's all right by you.
Sure, of course. Joe, congratulations. What a great day for Bucknell football.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. And hopefully the next day is just as good.
Nope. You got to build a day at a time. But
exactly.
you won the day on Saturday without a doubt. What did you see early on that told you your team was dialed in?
It was the way they approached Sunday through Friday in terms of their focus. And I think the Dartmouth win had a lot to do with that. Just their upbeat demeanor and how they prepared for the game. And then obviously when we went into that game, getting a turnover right off the bat on the opening kickoff and coming away with points. You want to come away with 7, but 3-0 is still a lead. And we knew that we felt we'd be able to move the football, and we wanted to take some shots deep. We were able to do so, and we wanted to keep their defense off balance. We also knew that they were a no-huddle team, and they had different paces of their no-huddle. And sometimes a no-huddle, when it is not functioning correctly, puts defenses back on the field right away, and that happened. And you know, when you go into the locker room at halftime with the lead that we had, I told my coaches, I said, I'd much rather be in this locker room than that locker room, because we've all been on the other side of that fence as well.
No question. C.J. Williams rushed for 154 yards, 3 touchdowns. Discuss his patience as a back and the work that your offensive line did to create the creases.
You know, it's a comment to the development of the young offensive line. They've done a great job, get better each time they're out there. Julian Davenport had one of his better games. When he finds the weight room, he is going to be one heck of a player here. CJ understands that the guys up front, what they mean to him. And as a back gets going during a game, he gets a feel for specific plays that he actually sets up the runs as much as the offensive line does. And CJ runs behind his pads very well. At times he tries to jump over people too often, where we keep telling him you're 205 pounds and when you're in midair you don't weigh anything. But he too will get better and better, obviously with the more touches he gets, but also when he gets in a groove. And Matt Del Muro is a very good running back. It's just sometimes you have to play with the hot hand, and we felt CJ was that during this game.
A signature for a Bucknell defense under your leadership has been takeaways, takeaways, takeaways. To get 5, not only what did it do for the game, but also to reestablish that part that's so important to you?
We keep preaching it, and we keep practicing it, and as long as they have confidence in it, we keep telling them that this thing is going to turn in our favor, and it did. The first one off the kickoff, it was real important, but the first interception that Taj Turner made, they were driving, and they were in the tight red zone, and we had the quarterback packing the ball, which isn't a good thing in the timing passing game. And he hurried a throw, and it was a tip throw, and Taj converted. And, you know, it led to three other interceptions, one by Clay Ewell, two by Matt Steinbeck. And, you know, Matt Johnson actually got one right in the middle of the chest. We always tell him, catch the ones they throw you. I asked him on Sunday whether or not he had a contusion on the middle of his chest, but we would have had another one there. And if you can master the turnover margin and keep it in your favor, it's just how they end possessions and how you start possessions. It winds up being positive field position. And just from a momentum standpoint, it keeps momentum on your side.
What does it mean to have a senior quarterback that gets it?
That is so important. You know, we can do some things with him that we did not try to do with R.J. Nitti, both line of scrimmage decisions, but also some of the run game choices that he has at the line of scrimmage. The other thing that is so important, when he's in the huddle, he elevates the level of the play of those around him, and I believe R.J. Nitti will ultimately be that. But when he's in the huddle, he's just trying to figure out what cadence he was going to use, what play he was going to call, and that's normal for an 18-year-old at the line of scrimmage. There aren't too many 18-year-olds that, you know, you don't have them in the spring. You don't get them a semester early like some of the FBS schools do. Still a true freshman, and, you know, with Brandon there, the demeanor, some of the plays he made, and the decisions he made, very good with his decision-making process. The thing I liked that he did that he hasn't done in the past is that there are times when you're running as a quarterback that it's time to either slide or lay down. And if you were to see our quarterbacks practicing sliding, you'll know why he laid down.
Right.
Sliding does not come natural to these guys. It's amazing because you and I grew up knowing how to slide.
Right.
Because we slid in the backyard. And you just got to make sure you're not sliding anywhere near where a dog has been.
And that's a good tip.
Because we've all slid into that, too.
I you're darn right. I did one day.
But he was smart there, you know, in the past that he would try to run people over, and it's not a good thing because those hits are cumulative, and quarterback position by nature gets hit normally.
Just remind him about the head-first slide being different than the foot-first slide.
Oh, no question. Believe me.
I got a little nervous on a couple of those, Coach.
Yeah.
No question. In fact, you know, it's interesting you talk about sliding. I think people think it's a natural thing. But the St. Louis Cardinals brass, it turned out the State College Spikes minor league team is a Cardinals affiliate, and they were all in for the playoffs. And so they decided as a group they wanted to see a Penn State football game, and Christian Hackenberg came out of the pack, and a perfect hook slide and ended the play. Couple of the Cardinals scouts came up to me and they said, we want to know who taught that kid because literally it would help our kids. And so there's more to it than people realize.
No question. And, you know, what's unique is I played a lot of baseball in my career, and your instinct says slide. And I learned in playing softball after I stopped playing baseball that your instinct still says slide. When you slide with shorts on some of these softball fields around here, it's something you carry with you for a while. But it is a unique, it's not a natural thing. And you know, a lot of these kids become one sport specific, and that's America. I'd like to see them vary what they do, but as long as he gets out of harm's way, I'm fine with it, because I thought the trainer, as we were practicing sliding, the trainer came over and he was ready to jump in there because it wasn't pretty.
Yeah. Colgate's won its last two, Joe. You go up there next.
Tell me a little bit about Gavin McCarney, who's a dual threat.
He's a kid that I've gotten to know with some of these preseason meetings, and I always kind of – some of these kids are very cautious about when you look them in the eye and say something to you. You know, they want to stare you down, and Gavin was that initially, but he understands how much I respect him. And if you were to stand next to Gavin, you'd think he's a linebacker. Because they had a tailback go down earlier in the year, they're throwing it a little bit more, but he's very effective in both parts of it. And his read option is much more complicated than some of the other teams that we've played, in that he's not just reading the defensive end at times. He'll read the B-gap player. He'll read one of the linebackers. That's what makes him so much more dangerous than some of the other read teams that we play against, and very decisive. He's a north and south runner, and he runs with power. Part of our approach this week is to control time of possession with our offense, and that's the best way to defend a kid like that, keep him on the sideline watching.
Well, Joe, congratulations on a couple in a row, including an impressive one over the then 15th ranked team in the country. Win the day today, win the day Saturday.
That's it, one day at a time. Keep Kevin going on that. And Kevin was at the game on Saturday, I think, with his Halloween costume on. I think that was your Halloween costume, wasn't it?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
Dressed up as a skinny guy.
Yes, exactly. It fooled you too, didn't it?
No, I'm very impressed by you. Always have been.
That makes one. All right, Joe, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. You guys have a good day. Thanks,
you
Kevin.
Too,
take
coach.
Care. Bye.
Thanks.
That was the most fun I had in a post-game interview, by the way. I just want you to know after that game.
Well, good. Very good. All right. So now are we going to do news or are we going to keep going? What do you want to do? Well, that tells me we're going to go do news.
It's the audible cue.
Fabulous. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. Funer's in the house, program savior. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Maybe more information about Kevin than we needed in the last segment.
And Halloween isn't even here yet.
Well, I mean, Bob, last night I got 17 texts about his kid playing.
You got two.
Two?
Let's hang on. I'm going to go to my phone. I'm going to go to the phone. Let's go to the phone.
Really.
Steve Jones. Let's see.
He has
one. Oh, I'm sorry. Three. I forgot. I forgot to add the one part. I had to send it again.
All of
three.
Long, explaining every phase of it. I mean, really.
The first one was a long one.
So, Steve, did you stay up late last night to watch a certain baseball game?
Oh, sure I did. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely did. I watched virtually every pitch of it. I mean, that's what an ace is supposed to do. An ace is supposed to do what you saw last night. They're supposed to get you into the big game, into the late innings, and get it done. He did. And John Lester is now 3-0 in his lifetime in three World Series games. And he has given up a whopping total of one run in his three World Series starts on the biggest stage with the money on the table. Kevin hates when I talk about that, but that's a determining factor to me when the pressure is ratcheted up the highest as to how you perform.
He just had a sterling command of the pitching last night, I thought.
And he did. And Wainwright pitched very well last night for St. Louis, pitched very well. And it's just the kind of game where
it's not a mistake. It's just that's one of those like 1-2 plays either way swings the game. Well, he gives up the home run to Holiday, and then Beltran destroys it, but he destroys it to the wrong part of the park. And Gomes is able to catch it at the base of the wall. That was it for a threat. I mean, Freeze, yeah, he doubled. I mean, I know he doubled down the line. But he had command. I mean, he's now gone in his career 3-0, and it's given up one run total in his World Series career. Now, is he a Hall of Famer? Absolutely not. He is definitely not. But with the money on the table, he's one heck of a pitcher. And he showed that last night.
And Big Poppy's putting up some incredible batting statistics, I think.
Well, but this is what we've seen from him now for 10 years. He was fabulous in the 2003 playoffs. He was awesome in 2004. In 7, he was very, very good. Okay? The last couple times through, 8-9 was it? But, I mean, here he is 10 years later, and he's doing this again. Again, money on the table. You know, I remember I made a point one time on a show about, we were talking about the DH or whatever, and I talked about being in Pittsburgh, and now when Ortiz pinch hit, everybody stopped what they were doing, and nobody went to the concession stands. They all focused on him. I was at the concession stand when he came up, and they all left, and I was like, oh, Ortiz. And, of course, I've seen Ortiz hit how many times in person? You know, these people have it. So I understand that. So yeah, I turned and it turned out he scored the winning run. And this guy texted and said they did the same thing for Barry Bonds. Well, the difference between Barry Bonds and David Ortiz is when the leaves fall, Bonds' game goes with it. Okay, David Ortiz rises the level of his game to the occasion of the moment. Okay, he is not overwhelmed by the stage. Barry Bonds is fabulous from April to September 20th.
Ortiz is 11 of 15, but think about the grand slam that was stolen. He could be 12 of 15 and with four RBIs.
Right, but that's a good play by Beltran. Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
Oh, I'm not taking anything
away
from the play. I'm just saying, look at how close he is to having even more impressive numbers.
Yeah, even his outs are loud. I know they are. And but now they go back to Fenway, and this is such an evenly matched series. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it's an evenly matched series. That's why crazy things have happened at the end of some of these games. The call at the end of Game 3, and again, I didn't see a second of that game because I was doing a game. But I saw it later, and the call was correct. Now, do they have to maybe change the wording in it and maybe a little more common sense interpretation? Maybe. But in terms of that, the actual rule and how Jim Joyce said it, he was absolutely right. He got it right. And that's fine. I had no problem with the call. I had a problem with the throw Salto Lamacchia made. I had no problem with the call. I mean, the Red Sox are two bad throws to third base from sweeping.
Ortiz is hitting .733 right now with 6 RBIs and 5 runs scored. The rest of the team.
Yeah, but he needs the rest of the team to start playing ball, too.
The rest of the team is hitting .151.
Right. But you know what? On that rest of the team last night, David Ross had a big double down the line to drive in a run. Jacoby Ellsbury broke out with a base hit to knock in a run. So he got help last night. And the Bogarts kid's starting to hit, and Pedroia's now hitting. So certain things are happening now that weren't happening before. Pedroia's been hitting really the entire time. Ross is now getting into the mix offensively. He's had a couple of good offensive games. Ellsbury getting that RBI hit last night was huge for him, and the Bogarts kid's playing pretty well.
Well, think about this. With a 22-for-146 stretch right now for the rest of the team, the rest of the team still has 15 RBIs and 16 runs on 22 hits.
Right.
That's good use of your hits.
Well, they've been opportunistic. And for the Cardinals, obviously, it was interesting because Mike Matheny put Shane Robinson in the two-hole, which I understand. Robinson's been a good postseason player for them. But what he did was he bumped down Beltran and Holiday. I'd rather bump them up the way John Farrell bumped up Pedroia and Ortiz, because the reality is it gives them potentially another at-bat somewhere along the line in a spot. And that's what I found interesting, how the two managers handle their lineups. Now, the Red Sox get Mike Napoli back into the mix tomorrow night. Okay, so for them, a chance for a little more power, which they're going to need against an outstanding, outstanding young pitcher in Michael Wacha, who has been, since the moment he stepped out there, has been tremendous. Ortiz even got him, though. But Wacha has been tremendous, and you know the stage won't be flustered by the stage. Now, here's the one thing, though, that has to be brought to the table. It's the second time the Red Sox have seen him. The question is, does that make a difference? I don't know. But usually, the pattern for this team has been when they see you a second time, they normally have a better handle on you.
Well, ask the Pirates about that, because they didn't seem to do very well against Wacha either.
But they saw Wacha once.
Yeah. Right? And was enough.
Right. And the Red Sox saw Wacha one time. It's the first time they've ever seen him. And now this will be a second time through for them. And the approach on Wainwright was to drive up pitch counts. And I said that at the beginning of the World Series. That's one of the keys. And notice how they got Wainwright up over 100 pitches by that seventh inning. Lester never got to 100 last night. He was in the eighth inning and was at 90. Right? Never got there. Wainwright was over because they may not be getting hits, Kevin, but they're fouling off a lot of pitches. Gomes, in particular, has one hit in the series. It's that three-run homer to win game four, okay? But how many pitches did he foul off last night?
Yeah, they're seeing a lot of pitches.
Which drives the pitch count up. It drives the pitch count up, and that's an important part of it. Now we're at a stage where the Red Sox, they'll start Lackey, who actually pitched very well in game two. And in the one inning, he saved the bullpen by his one inning the other night. That was one that one inning he pitched was a very underrated inning the other night, where starter comes out, does what the team needs, because Felix Dubront bailed them out by how he pitched, and he's a starter. It's another, you know, what's the misnomer about the Red Sox? The misnomer is they're a free agent built team, correct? Okay? They're a free agent built team. All right, well, now let's look at them. Pedroia, homegrown. Middlebrooks, homegrown. Bogarts, homegrown. Ellsbury, homegrown. Nava, homegrown. Lester, homegrown. Buchholz, homegrown. Dubront, homegrown. I mean, going on and on and on here with the guys that they have that they came up through their system. I mean, you know, half this team is a system-built team. Now, is Gomes a free agent? Yeah, Gomes and Victorino and Napoli. They acquired Sautalamacchia in a trade. Lackey's a free agent. I mean, Lackey was a huge number free agent for them. Peavy they got in a trade. Yohara they picked up as a free agent. Tozawa is actually a guy that they had signed along the way as a long time ago. Dubront they signed at 16 years old. And he bailed them out with a brilliant three-inning middle relief performance. It was the winning pitcher in game four. So, I mean, you know, this team is built on an interesting mix. And Napoli, obviously, is a free agent as well. But it's built on an interesting mix. There really only is one mega free agent in the group in terms of, like, huge number guy, and that's Lackey. Everybody else is not, even though it is a high payroll. But, for example, Napoli reached an incentive that kicked his contract from $7 million to $13 million. He did that in August because he was able to play all season long. So there's certain things that they have. You know, so it's an interesting mix. The Cardinals are also, you know, a basic homegrown. We know Alan Craig for a fact is, because he started here in State College. Jason Mott, of course, can't pitch at all because he had Tommy John surgery. But he's a State College spike player as well. you know, Steve. Matt Adams.
Yeah, I was going to say Matt Adams was Matt my questions.
Yeah, Matt Adams, right? They drafted him. Nobody else found him. They found him. You know, Descalso. You look at Cosma, Carpenter. Now, they acquired Holiday in a trade from Colorado. They got Beltran, obviously. You know, Molina is just the best in the business behind the plate. Wainwright, one of their guys. Waka, one of their guys. I mean, the Cardinals are a marvelously built, professionally built team. I mean, you know, two great organizations, really.
Did Adams ever play for the Spikes?
No, never did.
Because I knew he was signed by them, but what happened? Did he go up, like, instructional league right up to double A or triple A?
No, he went to Batavia. Because Batavia was the Cardinals' affiliate then.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
The Cardinals were an affiliate in 2006 of the Spikes. That's why Craig and Mott both played here. And Mott had been the closer until the Tommy John surgery. You know, Alan Craig's just tremendous. And by going back to Boston, by the way, Craig can now DH, which will be a plus for the Cardinals. He gets Adams' bat back in the lineup as well. And then this past season, okay, so in between it was all the Pirates. All the Pirates. All right, better take a break. Because if we don't, Kevin won't be able to pay his mortgage. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, homeowners, life, auto, business insurance, price, service, the hallmarks of what they do in Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. Kratzer Insurance, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.